Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for another Bible study. It's always a great privilege. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So, I guess we're looking at a very interesting, I think maybe those that put title to it might be able to refine it later on. I don't know if the topic I gave to it will necessarily be the perfect one, but I trust God that those that have the grace for it will do a beautiful job. All right. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We trust you, Father, that you will teach us this evening and our hearts will be blessed. No one here will go without being blessed, without being touched, in the name of Jesus. Those that are sick in their body will be healed tonight. And those that have soul sicknesses also will be healed tonight. In Jesus' name have we prayed. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Trust me, it's not a new topic. But I know that the Lord will breathe on it and we'll all be blessed. So I tried to target God's power. Indescribable. God's power, like a dash, or I'm not an English student. Indescribable. Okay, we're reading from verse 15. We're reading NKJV and NIV. So read NKJV first, then we'll go to NIV. Okay, so we all know these scriptures. We're going to just take it. So we're going to read it verse by verse. And I trust God to help us. Amen. All right. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So this was Paul, Apostle Paul, talking here. And he was speaking to the Ephesian church. So he heard of their faith and their love. Hallelujah. Can we read it in NIV? It's Bible study, so let's enjoy it together. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. All right, so, you know, this was Paul's commendation of the Ephesians church. You know, he commended them of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for God's people, for all saints. Amen.
Amen.
I know 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says that three things are going to abide or are going to remain. Right? What are they? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. And so, you know, Ephesians church, we're not lacking in faith and in love. No, because of the faith they had in the Lord Jesus, they were able to also love the saints. They were able to love one another. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No, so, you know, it will be a very beautiful commendation for us as God's people that we have faith in the Lord and in love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a beautiful commendation, right?
Yes.
You know, someone writing to us, imagine Pizak writing to us and saying that he heard of our faith and our love for one another. It's a beautiful commendation because it shows that it's an healthy church. It's an healthy church that have faith and love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, let's go on. Verse 16. Let's go back to NKJV. We're doing both. Then he said that because of what he heard about their faith and their love, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So that's testimony of that Ephesians church gave birth to Paul giving thanks on their behalf. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't worry. We are going somewhere. I just need to lay this introduction. We are going somewhere. So I'm going to rush it. I won't necessarily stay on it. All right, verse 17, please. Now, and then he prayed. He said he prayed for them. And what's the prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Amen. I know many of us pray these prayers a lot. All right, we're going to do a little bit of Bible study to it. So, you know, by the time you are praying tomorrow morning, trust me, you'll pray this scripture in another light because of God will have given us grace for this. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so NKJV says that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. NIV says that the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So there's a reason for that spirit. There's a reason why we are being baptized with that spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, it's not just the way there's sometimes the way we just read it and just pray it, and then we don't necessarily even understand it. You know, he says that it's the spirit of wisdom. He's praying that the Lord, he will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know him better. NKJV says that we might, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So there's a reason for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, when you hear a church that already is being commended for faith and love, you would think they are fine. They don't necessarily need to know more of God. But Paul saw a need to still pray these prayers for them, that they might know more, that they might know more of the Lord, that they might know more of the Lord. And so the reason why we pray it is so that we can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. God reveals himself to us so that we can become more intimate with him. That's why we pray these prayers. So it's not just one of the New Testament church kind of prayers. No, there's a reason for it. It's so that we can know the Lord more and more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, let's move. Verse 18. All right. So, the heights of your understanding, we even prayed this evening, right? The heights of your understanding being enlightened that you might know. So, please, let's read it in NIV. It says that, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So, you know, if we read through, there are three basic things that he prayed for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened for. So one is that our eyes will be open so that we might know, NKJV says, the hope of his calling, not the hope of my calling. It's the hope of his calling. Hallelujah. So I'm ensuring that we are reading simpler versions, or you know, so that we can just understand better. So NIV says that the hope to which he has called you, the hope to which he has called each and every one of us that are here. So one of the reasons for the opening of the eyes or for that enlightenment of our heart is so that we can know the hope to which he has called us. Sorry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Which is what? Okay, let's read like we have life. All right, which is what? Right, thank you. Yes. All right. So what is that hope? So from what we just read, what is that hope?
Christ in me.
So the hope of his calling for us is that Christ Jesus might be revealed in us. Yeah, do we understand now? So that's one of the reasons why we pray for the eyes of understanding to be opened. We will know the hope of his calling. We will know the hope to which he had called us, that Christ may be formed in us, that Christ may be revealed in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not going to stay long here because I have an agenda. All right. Okay, let's continue. So that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's one. Number two says, that you may know what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. If I stay, I will not finish Bible study. But let me just help us. It says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So there's something that is in us as the saints that we must know. So this gathering right now, there is a glory of his inheritance in this us that are here. Let's read NIV. Okay. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Like, the house of God is not just a please come and do amen and go. There is a wealth of glory each time we come together and we gather. And the only way you can see it is when the eyes of your heart is opened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, let's move, please. Because this is where I'm going to. You know, I actually have been trusting God because I know that it's a word for the house, but I've just been, I don't know how I was going to be able to. There's a weight in the word that I don't know if I was capable of delivering. And, you know, but I trust God. And so we're going to be able to do this. All right, verse 19 now says, and so this is the third one. It says that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, we will know hope of his calling. And then this is the third one, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Let's stop there first. Let's stop there. So it says that exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. So there's an exceeding greatness of his power that is in us that believe. All right, let's read NIV. Now, I trust God that we'll not just be excited by this word tonight, but it will help us to draw closer to him.
Amen.
Amen. All right, it says, and it's incomparably great power for us who believe. You know, I tried to do a little study on power. Do I want to go there? Okay, let me just tell us what it means. This power, the first part of power there, trust me, I don't necessarily do this, but I just want us to understand something. You know, it's from a word called dunamis. And that word means force, ability, strength, abundant. And you know, it's also derived from an English word called dynamite. Many of us know what a dynamite is, right? What does it do? Blow ups. It has a powerful effect. So that is the power that we have because we believe. Hallelujah. Don't worry. This is where we are going to, and so we are going to stay here for a bit. I like how NIV now puts it. He put a full stop. Is Gabriel in church? No. That, so if after he has finished saying that the last one, which is an incomparably great power for us to believe, there's a full stop saying that, okay, now there's now another statement. He says that that power is the same as the mighty strength. Please go back to NKJV. All right. Now, it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. So this mighty power means something else. And I'll just tell us what it means. It means great. So this mighty power shows that it's like talking about a king that has a dominion. And so you know what who kings are, right? That they have power, they have authority, they have strength, they have the will to do and to undo, right?
Yes.
All right. So that's what this power is saying. Amen.
Amen.
Don't worry. Trust me, you understand. I'm not trying to preach anything mystical. You understand. All right. So there's a great power at work in us. There's a great power at work in us. So, we are going to understand better in verse 20. But before we go there, I want us to quickly read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. So, the word power that was used in Ephesians is the same one that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So this power is the same power that is the same power as dunamis. Yeah. Verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Alright, please. So let's go back to Ephesians. And we're going to see what this power did. So, there is a greatness of his power to us that believe. So, there's a measure of power to us that believe. Now, it's not just power as per the word power. Amen.
Amen.
It's not just power as per power. There's a weight on that power. And this is greatness of his power is fueled by his mighty power. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's see what that mighty power did. So that you understand the weight of the power that they said is in us that believe. Is anybody confused? All right, I'm trying to be as simple as I can. Is actually nothing deep. All right, so want to see now what that power did. Because I think we don't really understand what that power did. Amen.
Amen.
All right, verse 20, Amplified Classic. Okay, please let's read NKJV so that they will not come back here. All right, he said, so go back to 19. Sorry. I'm so sorry for disturbing you like this. All right, so he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. So let's not mix it. He now says, there's a power that is in us who believe. It's now according to the working of his mighty power. So he was comparing that power to another power. Are we here? And see what that power did, verse 20. That power is the one that walked in who?
Christ.
That power walked in Christ. And see what that power did to Christ Jesus. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So it's not English word power. He said, is mighty power is an authority that only Jesus, only God himself wills. And it's a power that is also at work in you and I. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So, I'll take it again. I'll take it again. Because I want us to understand this night. Alright, so it says that what is the exceeding greatness of his power. So one of the reasons why my eyes needs to be open, your eyes needs to be open, is so that we can know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to you and I that believe. Do we get that?
Yes.
Now, that power, he now compared it to, he wants us to see that power he mentioned, that is power that he mentioned at first. It's not just English dictionary meaning. There is where it came out from and what it can do and he has done. According to the working of his mighty power. That mighty power did something. Which worked in who? In Christ. So let us imagine it very plainly. Do we know that actually Jesus died? Like Oku was buried. Like Jesus died and was buried. And then by normal biology, normal natural earthly conclusion, if they have done maybe an up, is, oh, thank you. I've told you people I'm not an English student. Yes. I don't know English at all. So if they have done autopsy, they will have said maybe he died of something. And they will have declared him clinically dead. Right? So, but something now happened 3 days after. See, you know that if you go to Israel right now, his body is not there. Sometimes I think we don't imagine and think scriptures. Like if you go to where he was buried, that body is actually not there. And there was a mighty power at work. So that mighty power that was at work in Christ Jesus now raised him, yanked him off from dead into life. And he did not stop there. He now took him and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. So that's the power that is at work in you. All right, don't worry. You will still understand if you have not understood it. God's mighty power flows in our lives to create a dynamite explosion. It worked in Christ Jesus. According to the working of God's mighty power, he yanked Jesus from death into life. You know, and that's what resurrection power is. It did not just bring him back to life. He did something more than the natural mind can imagine. Amen.
Amen.
And then now Jesus is seated at his right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, let's finish the scripture. 21. He's not just seated, but he's not telling us how well placed he is. Far above all principalities and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things, how many things?
All things
under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills. All right. Can we see what that mighty power did in Christ? All right. So we are going to Ephesians chapter 2. That mighty power is still at work. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All right, we are reading from verse 1 to 10. And then now he said, so please go, can we, is it possible to merge 23 of chapter 1 and chapter 2. All right, thank you. So this is just still telling us what the mighty power did, right? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Then we now go straight into chapter 2. Okay, don't worry. We are fine. And you, tell your neighbor that. Like, yes. Yeah. He made a life. All right. Let's come back. You don't have to say after me again. Thank you. And you, he made a life. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. All right, verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. So, who are they describing here? Us. All right, let's go on. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4. Now see what his mighty power now came and did to you and I. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, like Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you know that Jesus did not just die? Jesus did not die as a righteous man. Ah, many of us thought so. What did he do? He actually carried the sin of the whole world. Jesus actually went to hell. As in, he went to the deepest part of hell. And it's from that part that God yanked him. So, every child of Satan, that is their place. And then the day you found mercy and decided to turn, they yanked you off that place of death. So that was what that power did. Do we understand? All right. So, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he did what? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Let's continue, please. Now, he did not just make you alive. He said he raised us up together and made us sit together. Many of us do not believe these scriptures. That your spirit man, did they? He gave his life to Jesus, was yanked out of hell, and became alive, and is now seated, like you are seated with Christ. Many times we do not believe it. That's what that power has done and can still do. Hallelujah. So that power actually made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, it might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest anyone should. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
So that same mighty power is at work in each and every one of us. You know, this transformation that happened in Ephesians 2 is greater than even just the miracle of raising a dead. Did you hear that?
Yes.
This work that happened in Ephesians 2 is greater than the working of miracles to raise a dead man. Let's pray. I want us to just pray for some minutes. I want you to receive. No, let this word begin to do something in your within. Best Father, we trust you. Maragadosh, Veliades, Oria Cabantus, Ebali Veniaco Shatabaya, Arababas, Safaya Lagadabash. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name have we prayed. All right, we're almost done. Romans 6. Reading 1 to 14. Romans 6. Is mighty power. That power is actually, you can't use words to describe it. So that was why I said God's power, indescribable. Amen. All right. I want us to read together, but as gentle as we can. Are we ready? Please don't read it casually. Yeah. All right, let's go. One to go. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? All right, please hold on. So as we read, remember that there is a mighty power. So read with the knowledge that you now know that there's actually a mighty power at work. All right. Are we good now? So let's start again. Thank you. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who are dead to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? All right. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was by the glory of the Father in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been free. So many of you are dead. So many of you are free from sin. And what is at work? Can somebody just be set free by this tonight? And decide and say that this is my reality and I will live in it. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. All right, verse 10. For the death that he died to sin, but the life that he lives to God. All right. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alike to God in Christ. Therefore, all right, let's hold on here. Please, let's go back there. Verse 11 and 12 together. Likewise also, he says, likewise also, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin, this is a commandment, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Can we read maybe the NIV or the NLT or Amplified Classic? Anyone? In this same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Another one, please. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. And do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Hallelujah. So you are the one that will reckon. You will reckon. You will consider yourself dead. Because there's a great power that is at work in you. There's a mighty power that is at work in you. And then you will know that you are alive to God. Hallelujah. All right, NKJ. Verse 13. All right, let's go. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The last verse, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Can we see a connection with Ephesians 2? So, this is the, indeed, there is a mighty power that is at work in us. That power is greater than any natural explosive. Now, if you indeed live for the Lord, that power, you are already alive in Him, and that power is at work in you. And it's not just once. It's not just because you have believed. Because we keep believing, right? And so that power is at work in us. It's always at work. So there's a mighty power at work in you. There's a mighty power at work in each and every one of us. Ephesians 3. Verse 20 and 21. Thank you. All right. Now, I know many of us have read the scriptures in different ways. All right. So, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power. That power is also dunamis. That works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Let's read the Amplified of verse 20, then the TPT. Sorry, Amplified Classic. All right. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So that's the power that is at work in you. Many times we limit it to our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, TPT. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. It will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. Like, it will do above your most unbelievable dream. So what is that dream that you have? Then now make it your unbelievable dream. Then you will now do more than it. All right. He said, and exceed your wildest imagination. And it will outdo them all. For his what? Miraculous power. So what energizes you? That is what energizes us. So if you've heard people that can live above sin, it is a mighty power that is energizing them. We have limited this power to, trust me, I am not in any way speaking down on miracles, but that's how much we have limited that power to. Like, it should just, miracles is just part of this mighty power. It's like the bread. That's what it actually is. Because there is something that is greater. Guys, you don't know what will give Jesus joy. Is that when we all appear before him, he's seen himself. Yes. And it's only this mighty power that can do it. He will then say that, well done, my faithful servant. Because he will just say, Bisola has become Christ. Eke has become Christ. And then it is big, mighty power. We must know that there is a mighty power that is at work in us. Can we read this together? Want to go? Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. It will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. It will outdo all them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes. It constantly energizes me to do his will, to obey him, to draw nearer. God's power is the greatest force in heaven and on earth. And that power that is the greatest force is at work in me, is at work in you. Now, this power should always make you get along with Jesus. Because that's what he wants to achieve with you. He should always just want you to live for him. He should always want you to develop intimacy with him, to become his friend. So always say, it is Jesus or nothing. It is Jesus or nothing. Jesus or Jesus. Jesus or Jesus. Yes. That power is that great. It's indescribable. Because it can do what even your imagination cannot comprehend. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, with this power at work in you, you are no longer a slave to sin. You no longer have to live in death. You are not in any shackles or bondage. You are free and alive. With this power at work in you, you are free and alive. I am no longer slave to fear. I am no longer slave to sin. His mighty power is at work in us. Is at work in us. That's what will make us be his own everywhere we are. The power is alive. It's very tangible. And it's in you. It's in you. Let's go back to Ephesians 1, verse 19. Let's read it. Now, I think it will make more sense. Okay, no, let's read from verse 15 downwards. So I think now, these prayers will make more sense to us, right? All right, so let's go together. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks. What is the hope of his calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mind, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, far above spirits, power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named,
not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and he put all things under his feet,
and gave him to be
head.
Can we say this with me? With this power at work in me, with this mighty power at work in me, I am no longer a slave to sin. I no longer have to live in debt. I am not in any shackles or bondage. I am free and alive. I am free and alive. I am free and alive.